This is Weekend Voices, a WERU audio magazine. Today we bring you a work in progress of a walk in progress. Bangor photographer and Latin American solidarity activist Jim Harney is walking right now from Boston to New Haven, Connecticut, to underscore the realities of undocumented immigrants in the United States, how hard it is to make the long journey, the injustice of their criminalization here, and how global economic policies have forced them from their countries. Jim Harney takes on this walk with cancer, whose prognosis has given him less than a year to live. Jim began the walk August 4th in Boston. He has been through New Bedford, Massachusetts, the site of the Bianco factory federal immigration raids last year, which rounded up close to 400 workers from Central America. On Thursday, Jim crossed the border of Rhode Island and Massachusetts, joined by people from both states. On Sunday, he is holding a vigil with churches and other organizations in front of the Wyatt Detention Center in Rhode Island, where earlier this month, an undocumented Chinese man died of cancer after being denied care or acknowledgement of his swift-onset illness. Today, we will bring you parts of some of the events Jim has been a part of, as well as we'll bring you some of the conversations with people Jim has met along the way. A part of Jim's walk will be a video documentary. Today is also the WERU membership drive, so we ask if you are able to call WERU and become a part of the crucially important financial support for this community radio. The number is 1-800-643-6273. Again, 1-800-643-6273, or you can pledge online at WERU.org. Now a work in progress of a walk in progress. Jim Harney has been a photojournalist since he picked up a camera and headed to El Salvador in 1979 during the brutal repression against the social movement there. He was at Archbishop Romero's funeral when Salvadoran military forces, backed by the U.S. government, opened fire on those in attendance. He continued to visit El Salvador throughout the war and has traveled in many other countries over the years, including Guatemala, Colombia, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Argentina, and Chiapas, Mexico, photographing people and bringing their stories back to North America. His emphasis on social justice has led him to continually underscore the effects national and global economic policies have on people's lives and the poverty it creates. Before the current war in 2003, Jim Harney traveled with a delegation to Iraq. On his return, he traveled with his presentation, Faces of Iraq. His photos can be recognized by many Mainers as those that have been replicated on anti-war posters and buttons in the state. Harney's last project was traveling to the borders of Guatemala and Mexico, and Mexico and the U.S., to travel with and document the experiences of people migrating north in search of work. His return presentation, Globalization and the Undocumented, underscores the intense hardships people have endured on their journey and examines the economic roots of migration, with particular emphasis on free trade policy. This past June, Jim Harney was told by his oncologist that his throat cancer had returned and that he has 6 months to a year to live. On August 4th, Harney embarked from Boston on a walk in solidarity with the undocumented. He has been meeting with immigrant groups and others as he walks to New Bedford, Providence, and New Haven. Harney hopes to underscore the poverty people come from and what they experience in trying to cross the border to arrive in the United States, where they are treated as criminals. His photos and essays can be seen on the website of the organization for which he has been an artist in residence for the past 10 years, Posibilidad. That website is www.posibilidad.org. Jim Harney's walk began at the Capitol steps in Boston. Members of the immigrant organization Centro Presente, the policy and education organization United for a Fair Economy, the Guatemalan Maya Quiche Network from New Bedford, and the Center to Support Immigrant Organizing were there along with family and friends of Jim's, who gathered for a rally and press conference and then began the walk. We bring you pieces of that press conference.
I'm Diego Huesa Rosales. I'm 18 years old, and I'm the proud son of two immigrants from El Salvador, Jeanette Huesa and Carlos Rosales. It pleases me this morning to see so many people here unified for the same purpose, all with the same concern over the mistreatment of undocumented immigrants in our country. So, why New Bedford? Last March, one of the biggest raids in Massachusetts occurred. I wish I could inform you all that the situation has improved, that the U.S. government has reevaluated its stance on immigration, but unfortunately it hasn't. Inhumanity, discrimination, more raids, and separation of families continue to plague our nation. We are all here willingly when at this very moment several thousand of people are leaving their home countries, and even more are contemplating the idea of it and risking lives, limbs, and their own safety. U.S. neoliberalism in the world puts small local shops out of business when the local markets are the ones that provide jobs. So who's the one stealing jobs? And then people wonder why people come to the U.S. Perhaps for better jobs, a better life, security, and for their own families. How many people in the state house or of us here know what it truly means to be hungry, to leave behind their families and risk everything? In Jim's presentation, there was a man, I'm not sure of his name right now, but he compared the American dream from two different points of views. The U.S., where it's all about consumerism, a bigger house, a nicer car, more money, and elsewhere, la lucha, the struggle to meet basic human needs, such as food, shelter, education, and safety, trying to get by day, and again, basic human rights. All we ask is that for this government to understand this, to take the appropriate steps to create a true land of the brave and the free. This day should be a unification of all immigrant struggles, documented, undocumented, Latinos, Asians, Africans, Europeans, and Middle Eastern. I ask that we all join Jim, whether it be today or not, but at least one day in his trip from Boston to New Bedford. We are here today to join Jim Harney in the longest walk, Boston to New Haven. We are here to make Jim's dream a reality. Jim Harney has been diagnosed with terminal cancer, yet this unfortunate news has not halted nor stopped his determined and noble spirit. I have only known Jim for a couple of months, yet he has left an everlasting impact on my life. I am honored to join Jim today, although I wish I could walk with Jim the whole way to New Bedford. Without further ado, Mr. Jim Harney.
I have cancer, I have terminal cancer, and I'm hoping to use the last days that I have walking in solidarity with the undocumented human beings who are risking their lives walking through Central America, trying to make it to the United States to do something very, very simple. That is to come up with an income where they will be able to support families that are in dire straits, that are living in economies that are collapsing, that are falling apart. And much of the reason for all of that is because of trade relationships that have been underway, that have basically favored the elite of Central America rather than having done anything to support the impoverished of Central America, those who are living outside the economic system, making $1, $2 a day. It's unjust, it's terrible, and for that reason, human beings are coming north trying to make an income. I believe that it's incredibly important that we begin to stretch our imaginations so that we begin to identify with the excluded of this planet, with those who are being humiliated, with human beings who are working in conditions that are simply terrible. And every day that they go to work, they're worried about the immigration authorities coming in and grabbing them and separating them from families, putting them in detention camps. I knew a human being who in Central America left El Salvador with 20 people. He ended up in the United States, and he told me that 19 of his friends died in the journey coming to the United States of America. The man, when he was sharing this to me, was in trauma, tears coming down his face, just recounting the story of friends having been killed by maras, by gangs, his friends having fallen off of trains, friends who died in the Sonora Desert, died of thirst, a terrible death, and he said it was the only one who had survived. I would like to say that I'm trying to identify with the crucified, with those who, for the most part, aren't covered by the national news, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, basically they don't film the faces of the undocumented. They don't share the important narratives of the undocumented. Those stories are hidden, and it's about time that we begin to tell those stories, because in telling these stories, we'll all be able to live a life of hope. We'll be able to create a future, and a future that will include everyone rather than excluding so many. The undocumented, 12.5, 13 million of them living in the United States, are the hope of this country. And it's about time that we begin to recognize them, to support them, to be proximate to them in as they live in the shadows. We've got to create a situation where we bring them out and create an economic system that treats them with decent and fair wages, treats them as fellow citizens, puts them on a path to citizenship, and allows them to stand tall and allow their dignity to grow rather than to humiliate them. It's time that we do that, and this time is now.
New Bedford, Guatemalan Maya Quiche labor organizer and board president Adrian Ventura and director Annabelle Lucas joined Jim at the Boston rally. Adrian Ventura.
Estamos aquí acompañando aquí al compañero. Agradecemos mucho por este trabajo que él está haciendo.
We're here to support Jim, and we are very grateful for the work that he's doing.
Estamos aquí, compañeros, por una lucha justa.
We're here for a very unjust fight.
Y también estamos aquí a veces sin conocer. Estamos aquí inmigrando por una causa del mismo gobierno de los Estados Unidos.
We're here, we migrated because of the U.S.
Que el mismo gobierno está haciendo la guerra en diferentes países es la razón que todo mundo viene a emigrar acá.
The same government is the one creating the wars across the world, and that's the reason why we come here.
Nos manda para acá por la misma cosa y nos sacan para allá. Entonces, es un momento de reflexionar lo que está pasando en este mundo.
They bring us here and then they kick us out, and this is a time for us to reflect on this.
En Bedford estamos luchando para hacer una campaña al mismo tiempo, cómo enseñar a nuestros compañeros que conozcan sus derechos como seres humanos.
In New Bedford right now, we are launching a campaign to help teach all the workers about their rights.
Al mismo tiempo estamos haciendo la campaña para que también nos unamos juntos para hacer esta caminata con este señor, para que nuestro gobierno también sepa que también hay compañeros que entienden la razón.
And we're also in this campaign to support Jim and to bring attention to the undocumented immigrants here in the U.S. and their fight.
Esperamos que esta campaña se va a dar a entender a muchos que este compañero es lo que está haciendo es una causa justa. Así que sí se puede. Gracias.
We're here to support Jim and to let people know that this is a very just cause. Yes, we can.
Maya Quiche director Annabelle Lucas.
Estamos hablando de New Bedford, pero no solamente en New Bedford. Está pasando lo que está sucediendo con ICE.
We're starting to talk about New Bedford, but not just New Bedford. We're going to talk about all that's happening with ICE.
Guatemaltecos arrestados y mexicanos en Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Guatemalans who Aníbal has worked with who have been arrested, and Mexicans as well in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Y también en Postville, Iowa, 390.
And also 390 recently at the Postville, Iowa raid, whom Aníbal visited with last week.
A veces me da tristeza decir esto con todo respeto. Cuando personas que dicen sueño americano, ¿cuál es el sueño americano?
It gives me sadness to ask this, but I ask, when people say the American dream, what is the American dream?
Esto es una pesadilla lo que los Estados Unidos está haciendo.
It is a nightmare what the United States is doing.
Guerras durante 500 años.
Wars for the last 500 years.
Esta no es la primera vez que sufrimos los indígenas en los Estados Unidos.
This is not the first time that we indigenous people have suffered in the United States.
Indígenas sin tierras, rodando como una pelota dentro de Estados Unidos y les llaman criminales.
The indigenous of the land playing these games with the United States who call us criminals.
Aparte de una bola de minimens en los Estados Unidos con una ignorancia, una enfermedad mental de cómo tratar a la gente de los Estados Unidos.
And then also the Minutemen, who Anibal met out in Iowa. The Minutemen are a really horrific group that treat us with such hatred here in the United States.
Les llaman criminal a los trabajadores, y los criminales andan en libertad.
They call the workers criminals, and they take away our freedom.
¿Saben qué es lo criminal? Lo que el gobierno hace sobre los derechos humanos.
You know what criminal is? Criminal is what the government does against our human rights.
Los Estados Unidos ha diseñado la palabra derechos humanos, pero no lo cumple.
The United States talks about human rights, but it doesn't comply with human rights.
One of the main organizers of Jim Harney's walk has been Jeanette Husso of United for a Fair Economy. She and others spoke to us as the walk started.
I have been working for United for a Fair Economy for the last 7 years, and our mission is raise awareness on the economic inequality in this country and how this economic inequality is destroying communities, especially communities of color, low income, and immigrants. And one of the latest work that we have been doing is working with immigrants communities, understanding why immigrants are coming. They are not coming just because they like it. It's because they have been forced to come, and this is more beyond the economic inequality from this country that is created in another country, especially in the South, in Latin America. Through trade agreements, people have no way to survive, and there are not another option to come to United States. And as part of our analysis is how the corporation is taking all over the power over communities and even over people in United States.
Can you talk, you're working a lot with Jim on putting together the events for this walk. Can you talk about how you came to work with Jim and a little bit about what the walk will include, what the meetings will be?
Well, one of the things that why we are joining Jim with this is because we are well known as an organization that uses a lot of research and data, but we need to put in the human faces to this reality. And I was having the privilege to meet Jim, to one of my English teacher of my kids, and I realized that he was putting together a type of workshop, but in pictures and videos and, you know, voices about all the recollection of the work that he has been doing in Latin America and understanding why people are risk their life to come to this country. And we made the connection about how the corporation work, because we are talking here about the neoliberal economic policies that are forcing that, which is exactly what we are working. So it was a perfect match for us to connect our, you know, theoretic data research with the reality that people not have the chance to see, because media are not portraying the real face of the issues.
My name is Patricia Montes, and I am from Honduras, Central America, and I work with Centro Presente, a Latino immigrant organization that work defending the rights of the Latino immigrant community here in Boston, and also struggle for social and economic justice. We work very hard, as I said before, defending the basic human rights of the Latino immigrant community here in this country, and we also work a lot trying to change this economic system that is pushing people every day to come to this country. And we are here today supporting Jim's in solidarity with many people that are trying to come here and that are dying, trying to cross the border to come to this country.
You want to comment on Jim's walk with different organizations? from Boston to
Vancouver. I think this is a beautiful thing that Jim is doing, and trying to involve more people to educate the U.S. people about what is happening with the Latino immigrant community, and also what is happening in our own countries, why people is trying to come here. I think it's very important to do this activity, and also we are very, very happy to have Jim with us, supporting our community.
I'm Luz Rodriguez, and I work for the Center to Support Immigrant Organizing, and we are one of the sponsors of this walk of GIN. And to me, it's really important to be here because it's part of the mission that we have to support the immigrants, especially the undocumented. We feel like GIN is bringing the voice and the face of all these people who don't have voice and don't have face in the big society. So to me, it's really important what he's doing is immensely great. So I'm happy to be here, and we'll support all the way to New Haven.
Great. Can you talk a little bit more about the work that your organization does to support people who are undocumented and are being criminalized here in the United States?
Yeah, well, we work with immigrant organizations that support and work with the communities. For example, we work with the organization Maya Quiche that represent the indigenous people from Guatemala. And when they had the raid 2 years ago, we were there to support them because we knew from the beginning that it was an unjust raid, and we felt that they need support at the time, and they need support now, and they will need support in the future. So we are working with them all the way, and actually this is, they're going to stop there. This walk is going to stop in New Bedford. So that is a connection between the work that we're doing here with the work that a lot of people are doing around the world with undocumented people. We felt that undocumented people brings to this country a lot, an experience, the energy, and we don't really take care of them as we should.
Today on Voices, we are visiting Jim Harney's Walk in Progress from Boston to New Haven, Connecticut, in solidarity with the experiences of undocumented immigrants making the journey to the United States. Jim Harney has cancer and has been given under a year. Jim Harney started his walk on August 4th and on Thursday crossed the border into Rhode Island. Sunday, there will be a vigil in front of the Wyatt Detention Center in Rhode Island, where recently a man died when his swift-onset cancer was ignored. A page tracking Jim's walk can be seen at posibilidad.org. Today is the first day of WERU's membership drive. Again, we invite you to call in during this program to offer your essential financial support to keep this community radio going. The number is 1-800-643-6273. Again, 1-800-643-6273, or you can pledge online at weru.org. And again, to follow Jim Harney's walk in solidarity with undocumented immigrants, you can go onto the website posibilidad.org, posibilidad.org. Jim had walked 3 days out of Boston when word came that Immigration Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, were engaged in a 3-day operation in the Boston area. A number of arrests were being reported, though ICE would not make an acknowledgement beyond the statement that they had an operation underway. Centro Presente and others involved in immigrant organizing held a press conference and invited Jim to speak. He paused his walk until the afternoon and came back to Somerville for a morning denouncement to the press. Patty Montes.
Good morning, my name is Patricia Montes, and I work at Centro Presente, a Latino immigrant organization who defends the rights of the Latino immigrant community and also struggles for social and economic justice. And we are here today to denounce the operations that recently conducted the Immigration and Customs Reforms ACE. El día de hoy estamos aquí para denunciar públicamente los operativos que han sido conducidos por inmigración dentro de nuestras comunidades. Sabemos que estos operativos causan el temor, la angustia y el pánico dentro de nuestras comunidades. Y nosotros rechazamos de manera pública y de manera enérgica todas estas actividades que ICE está haciendo dentro de nuestras comunidades. We strongly reject the presence of ICE in our communities. We denounce their tactics, which we find to be militaristic, intimidating, and discriminatory. We believe and affirm the concept of democracy. And for this reason, that's why we're here today, speaking out for those who don't have voice, especially the Latino immigrant community. We definitely need a change in the immigration system. We need an immigration system that reflects the true principles of liberty and democracy under which this country was founded. It's not a crime to be an immigrant. It's not a crime to come to this country without documents. That is not a crime. It's not a crime to provide for your family and try to keep our families together. No es un crimen ser un inmigrante. No es un crimen venir a este país sin documentos. No es un crimen tratar de tener nuestras familias unidas. What are our crimes are the reasons why immigrants have to leave their countries at the first place. Lo que es un crimen son las razones por las cuales los inmigrantes tienen que dejar sus países de origen en primer lugar. Y bueno, quiero además dar gracias a la iglesia y sobre todo al Pastor Morales por abrirnos las puertas de su iglesia y por apoyar sobre todo la comunidad inmigrante en momentos difíciles. I want to thank Pastor Morales and his church because this church is supporting the Latino immigrant community now in these difficult times. And now I would like to introduce, I have the honor to introduce Jim Harney. Jim Harney, he is originally from Maine. He's an activist. He has been working in solidarity for the Latino immigrant community in Latin America. And now he's working from here to New Haven in solidarity with the undocumented. And I have the honor to have with us Jim.
Patty, it's my honor to be here, and I want to say thank you very much for even allowing me to speak at this gathering. These are hard times, incredibly hard times, and I choke almost trying to come up with language to get to the root causes of these hard times that Patty was talking about. And it's essential that we get to the root causes. And when we begin to get to the root causes, all of a sudden we're able to smile, we're able to look one another in the face, and we're able to create possibilities when we get to the root causes. And unfortunately, we're living in a society that wants to keep us distant, to keep us so distant from touching the rot of the system. That's all pervasive. And the rot of the system that's coming down hard on poor people, on undocumented human beings who are risking their lives to get to the United States to do something very, very simple. And that act is to send a few dollars to the family so that they won't have to worry about whether there's a tortilla on the table, so that they won't have to worry as to whether they can pay the rent or not, or provide a modicum of health care to their kids. So the sistema that Patricia was talking about rules the day. There's absolute plunder going on in our society where a few are making millions and millions of dollars. And in Latin America, we don't even use the term billions. We say millones de dólares. A billion bucks is like, ooh, that's big time money. And now we're talking about that big time money going into 1% of the population of the United States of America. And I don't hear anybody complaining about any of that. Everybody says, oh, the undocumented are here, they're ripping us off. And meanwhile, they're working hard. They're providing the base for a middle class in our own country. And yet, everybody's looking at them as the cause of the problem. I feel pain right now realizing that there are human beings looking for other human beings as though they were animals. Grabbing them, putting them in detention camps, and taking pride in that as the number of those detained goes up. So an administration can say, oh, we're doing our job. We're preventing all of these illegal aliens from ripping us off. When I think of the situation at the present moment, I get flashbacks. And the flashbacks bring trauma. And the flashbacks bring me to El Salvador during the 80s, when human beings were hunted in that country simply because they believed in something better than what existed. They believed in a tomorrow. They believed in what we know as now as a world where there's possibility. And because of that, they were being rounded up. I knew friends that were 45 minutes ahead of the paramilitaries, ahead of the National Guard, all of these units funded very well by the United States of America. And now in our own society, we have that same reality where human beings are worried about somebody knocking on the door, terrified. I had to give a talk last night in East Boston. And because there are some people routing or trying to grab others, that meeting had to be canceled because people couldn't leave their homes. This isn't the kind of society that I want to be proud of. The kind of society that I want to be proud of is that we treat everybody as a human being. Treat everybody with a bit of dignity. Treat everybody with the kind of salary that they're all entitled to as a result of a hard day's work. Respect their labor. Respect who they are. Let people come together and join in creating a world where a different culture can contribute to the beauty of being citizens of the United States of America, rather than saying, oh, that culture, oh, it's terrifying, I want to move away from it. No, just the reverse. We have to relish that. We have to relish the fact that people are able to speak Spanish. They don't have to hide it. They don't have to feel ashamed of speaking Spanish. We're living in exciting times. And I say that without blushing. And I say the reason we're living in exciting times is that all of us are called as best as we possibly can in the political work that we do, in the spirituality that we develop, to come to terms with a society that is looting the world, pillaging the middle class in our own society, pillaging the undocumented, pillaging societies in Central America, so much so that everybody has to end up leaving their homes and taking that horrific journey to the United States of America, where they could possibly lose an arm, legs, falling off of trains, traumatized, all in order to be able to come up with a salary, come up with a mode of making a living where their families will be able to make it through the day. That's our challenge. Thank you ever so much for giving me a minute to share some reflections here.
Jim Harney's walk stopped in New Bedford, Massachusetts, where the immigrant community had been impacted by a militaristic ICE raid at the Bianco factory there last year. 400 people were rounded up and sent to detention centers, the majority in Texas. One of the communities impacted was the indigenous Maya Quiche from Guatemala. In between events, we spoke with two undocumented Maya Quiche men who marched with Jim through New Bedford.
Sí, eso sí, por eso el, sobre el derecho del trabajador, el derecho de uno, estamos así como estamos en un marcho, sí, pero la verdad más no puedo decir, no mucho sé, solo eso es lo que yo puedo decir.
Yeah, I could say a lot about that, the importance of human rights and workers' rights, because there's so much exploitation that happens in those areas. I could say about that.
¿Qué puede decir un poquito sobre la situación que la gente aquí enfrenta en cuanto a derechos humanos, derechos de trabajadores, etcétera? ¿Cómo es la situación de la gente quienes viven aquí en New Bedford, en su comunidad? ¿Es difícil? ¿Es fácil?
¿Qué? No, es difícil, sí, pero como uno por el derecho está uno aquí, del trabajador, necesidad, uno está aquí, sabemos que uno allá en su país no hay trabajo. Entonces, por eso, sobre eso está uno aquí luchando, buscando la vida, trabajando.
Yeah, I could certainly say about that. The community has a really difficult situation here. We left our countries because there was no work, and we come here, and the life of the worker here is really difficult.
No puedo más que decir.
How is it difficult? How are the lives of people here?
¿Usted puede escribir un poquito de ese, cómo es la vida difícil aquí? ¿Qué tipo de circunstancias enfrentan ustedes la comunidad aquí?
No sé, no puedo decir. Ahorita va, pues va.
Ajá, sí.
Este trabajo, miedo en la calle.
Ah, sí, sí. Me decía él que si se le digo yo, dice. Bueno, lo más difícil de aquí sería de que nos traten mal en las compañías y la gente de aquí no nos quieren, nos trate como animales.
So the hardest thing here is the work in the factories is really difficult. It's really unfair. And here the people here don't want us here. They treat us like animals.
Y la gente aquí, ellos nos tratan como que somos terroristas, pero simplemente nosotros estamos aquí para venir a trabajar.
So they treat us here like we're, the people here treat us here like we're terrorists or something, but we're only here to work.
Queremos luchar, queremos triunfar, llegar al éxito, y porque en nuestro país no hay trabajo, y estando aquí sí hay trabajos, pero... La gente no nos quieren.
So we want to survive. We want to struggle, and we want to have successful lives here. But it's difficult because there's nothing in our home countries, and the people don't want us here.
Y lo más difícil es que si uno trabaja así, más lento, ya lo botan en la compañía. Y otra cosa sobre la renta. La comida y otra cosa sobre los estudios, si uno quiere estudiar aquí no lo dejan a uno solo porque uno no es de aquí, uno no es ciudadano.
In the workplaces they'll get on our backs or even fire us if we work a little slower. The rents are really high here, and it's really difficult living situations. And then in terms of studies as well, we want to study, but there's very little recourses for school here.
We continued the conversation for a short while further along the walk with another translator, directly before Jim gave a photo presentation along with a member of the Guatemalan Maya Quiche community.
Can you talk a little bit about the difficulties coming here to the United States, traveling here, and why people need to leave?
Las situaciones, las condiciones del viaje, de salir de su país y llegar aquí a Estados Unidos, y las razones de por qué la gente se vayan, por qué la gente viene a este país, en el caso tuyo.
Ajá. La razón de que la gente viene sería de que allá no hay mucho dinero y no hay mucho trabajo. Casi no hay trabajo.
That the reason that people come is that there's very little work and there's not a lot of money and there's not a lot of work. There's hardly any work.
Y en el invierno sí hay trabajo. Y en el verano no hay trabajo. Y casi no se gana mucho. Porque todas las cosas se sube, todo lo que es petróleo y los alimentos y los estudios.
In the winter there's some work, but in the rest of the year there isn't much work, and the prices are very high, petroleum and all the other things are very high, and so people just don't have enough money.
Y y por eso que la gente se viene aquí, porque aquí hay trabajo y se gana, y uno gana dólar, ya cuando manda uno a Guatemala ya sale bastante, así como un dólar sale a siete quetzales, rinde mucho en Guatemala.
So here, if you're earning, there's jobs here you can earn, and you're also paid in dollars, and so therefore when you change the dollars to quetzales, it's about 7 to 1, so a dollar here really goes a long way in Guatemala.
Y por eso que la gente siempre se vienen, porque siempre decía en Guatemala que aquí hay mucho trabajo, y por eso que la gente siempre se vienen, y no les importan el precio del viaje. Aunque es demasiado caro.
So people come for the work and they say that it's worth the journey. It doesn't really matter how expensive the journey. The journey is very expensive, but people are willing to pay it so that they can come here and earn money for their families.
Todo lo que es aquí nos cuesta de devolverlos otra vez el dinero al porque desde que nos venimos no tenemos dinero para pagar el viaje porque es muy demasiado caro, y en el camino se sufre mucho porque uno pasa en los lugares escondidos en donde están los me da pena de contarles todo, pero más vale que lo cuente todo la verdad, porque donde pasa uno cuesta, corre peligro la vida de uno, y peor en el desierto.
He's saying that it's very hard to talk about the journey, that all kinds of things happen on the journey. It costs a lot, but he thinks it's better to actually tell the truth, that when you're crossing, you're going to hidden places, you're going to cross the desert, and you're going through places where it's possible that you're running the risk of losing your life in the journey.
Y ya estando aquí, uno le cuesta conseguir trabajo, y siempre nos maltratan, nos desprecian, no sé si es por nuestro color y por nuestro país, y nos dicen que nosotros somos machistas, pero nosotros tenemos la máxima educación. Porque siempre donde nos criaron, siempre nuestros padres nos han dado educación, y nosotros tenemos el respeto, somos humildes, somos honrados, trabajadores, y no somos terroristas, no somos malcriados, pero nos dicen aquí que no nos quieren, no sé en qué forma, no sé cómo.
So once getting here, it's very hard. People treat the Guatemalans, they're not valued, they have a hard time finding work, there's discrimination. He doesn't know whether it's because of their color, because of their nationality. He says people call them machista, but they're, you know, raised, they're educated as much as their families can, they're taught to treat people with respect, and those are the kinds of things that they're undergoing here. Hay que terminar, creo, porque la película...
Today on Voices, we are visiting Jim Harney's Walk in Progress from Boston to New Haven, Connecticut, in solidarity with the experiences of undocumented immigrants making the journey to the United States. Jim Harney has cancer and has been given under a year. Jim Harney started his walk on August 4th and on Thursday crossed the border into Rhode Island. Sunday, there will be a vigil in front of the Wyatt Detention Center in Rhode Island, where recently a man died when his swift-onset cancer was ignored. A page tracking Jim's walk can be seen at posibilidad.org. Today is the first day of WERU's membership drive. Again, we invite you to call in during this program to offer your essential financial support to keep this community radio going. The number is 1-800-643-6273. Again, 1-800-643-6273, or you can pledge online at weru.org. And again, to follow Jim Harney's walk in solidarity with undocumented immigrants, you can go onto the website posibilidad.org, P-O-S-I-B-I-L-I-D-A-D. www.idad.org. On Jim's second day walking out of New Bedford, he was joined by two young women who came to the United States from El Salvador when they were children. They were fleeing the brutal violence of the Salvadoran government during the 1980 to 1992 war. The United States gave extensive funding and military training and direction because they wrongly believed the social movement and guerrilla resistance there were part of a communist plot directed by Russia. This ideology, backed by military aid, supported other brutal regimes in Latin America, such as Guatemala, and during the 1980s, many immigrants ironically came to the United States for shelter. Jim Harney visited both El Salvador and Guatemala during those times. After the wars that had roots in poverty, the majority of the people of these countries continue to struggle economically, now folding under deepening layers of global economic policies, such as free trade, directed again in large part by the United States. These further stab at the abilities of people to make a living and undercut services that support populations. Again, ironically, these economic refugees from Central America and Mexico come to the United States to try to make money to send back to their ailing families and, by proxy, their country's ailing economies. Sandra was 10 when she fled El Salvador during the 80s, but she still has people she knows who are struggling to survive and who are trying to make the long journey north to the United States. She talked about firsthand accounts of herself and her relatives.
And this is why my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, sent me to the States, even though I didn't want to come here. But I knew, just living here, I knew what was waiting for me in El Salvador. And this is why I kept on just, you know, kept on going. And the little bit that I could make, you know, working in restaurants and any place that I could get a job, every little bit that I made, you know, was to pay my living, you know, expense and also support my siblings and my grandmother back home. And I knew that if I went back to El Salvador, I was not going to be able to do that. Even though my life here was very, very difficult, I knew that it was going to be much harder in El Salvador. So I can totally understand what, you know, illegal immigrants are going through right now. And I think what they're going through right now is much worse than what I went through, because what it's being done to them, you know, all of a sudden, all these raids, you know, all these, you know, no matter where they go, now even hospitals are calling the immigration on the, you know, on people who go there to get health care. Now they have to be fearful to even go and seek health care because the hospital is going to actually call the immigration on them. And I really think it's so unfair. This is so against human rights.
You're saying the story that you just were hearing recently.
Yeah, well, it was my nephew and my cousin who were actually coming to the States, and they were doing it. They were crossing the border. And along the way, they came across with other people, and then they were looking after each other. And there was this little boy that my nephew came across with. My nephew is actually 18 years old, and my cousin, he's much older, in his 30s. But there was this little boy that my nephew became really friendly, and they were looking after each other and all. And along the way, the little boy told his story to my nephew, and he told him that he was being raised by his maternal grandmother. They were very, very poor. They lived in a community that is very, very poor. The little boy did not want to get into gangs, and he was being harassed by some gangsters around the area. And so he decided to, you know, try his luck coming to the States. And his goal, his dream, was to come to the States, work very hard, make some money, and send it to his grandmother so his grandmother could put up a little convenience store. That way she wouldn't have to go every day struggling, looking for, you know, something to, you know, to earn, you know, a meal. And they had been on walking for a while, and they had not had any food for 2 days. And they were extremely hungry. They went around in some little areas begging for food, my nephew and little other little boy, 18-year-old. They were both actually 18 years old. And my cousin went with another guy in a different area seeking food. Anyway, while they were getting some food from some nice, generous people, the train was coming, and they were trying to catch the train. So then they were so hungry that they didn't. The people knew that they needed this food to take off because they knew they were waiting for the train. So they put it in plastic bags, and these kids run with the food on their hands, hoping to catch the train and then eat it once they're on the train. So as they are running, the little boy, the 18-year-old friend of my nephew, as they are running, one shoe fell off, and he couldn't stop to put it on and tie it or anything. Continue running, okay? And my nephew is calling him, say, hurry up, hurry up. And he's a little bit behind my nephew. And my nephew keeps on looking for him and say, hurry, hurry, hurry. They both jump to the train. My nephew manages to throw the food onto the train. The little boy did not want to throw it because he was afraid to lose it and he was so hungry. So he jumps onto the train, hands on with one hand, and as he's trying to hang on to it, one foot got caught on something on the train, which was the sock of that shoe that he lost. So he's struggling to actually make it all the way up to the train. And then my nephew barely makes it up there, and then he's going to help him. And then the little boy is calling my nephew saying, help me, Mauricio, help me. And Mauricio's trying to make his way there. And then the next thing that my nephew sees is that because the train is going so fast, that the wind is just like really, it was just very difficult for him to even try to hold on with the other hand. Eventually, he falls, and he just falls and covers his face. And my nephew tries to run, to jump, to rescue him, and the other guys who were there grabbed my nephew and stopped him from jumping and saying, no, you can't jump, because if you jump, you're going to die too. So they all thought he was dead. So about a mile after, the train slowed down a little bit, and my nephew and my cousin jumped off the train and went back to where this boy fell. When they got there, there was this group of guards and other people, and all this happened in Mexico. This was probably like 7 hours before reaching the border, the U.S. and Mexico border. And there are all these guards and people, and there's this little boy on the ground with this blanket over him. And the one leg totally cut off on one side. Okay, all this blood all over it. Then my nephew, when he sees him, he starts screaming. My cousin starts crying. And then they went and took off the blanket. And both of my relatives are calling his name. And the little boy, by hearing their names, his other hand would twitch a little, and the other leg would twitch a little. So that's how my nephew and my cousin were able to know that he was still alive. So then they started asking the guards to help him and saying, he's alive, you need to, you know, call the ambulance, give him healthcare, he's alive, he's not dead. They totally ignored him, and they refused to call the ambulance. Okay? And then they started getting into an argument. And finally, they did call the ambulance, and the ambulance picked them up and didn't even bother to pick up the leg. They left the leg there. And I'm like, my God, you would think that these people are caring, you know, that care about people. That's why they're in healthcare, you would think. And I don't know if he's alive, but I'm hoping he is. But even if he is, now, you know, what my nephew and my cousin said is that they were told that he will have to stay in Mexico for like 3-4 months to recover. And once he's fully recovered, then they will send him back to El Salvador. So he goes back to El Salvador worse than when he left. And his life is going to be even more difficult. And people like him who come here seeking, you know, for a future, or just, you know, a place where they can work and earn a living. Not that they're coming to commit any crimes or be, you know, taken care of by the government. They come here to work. to earn their living, earn the dollars, not to be a weight to this country. And they risk it all.
Every day, different people joined Jim on the walk. Sometimes he didn't know who they might be. On the morning before the walk was slated to go through Fall River, Massachusetts, Jim was surprised to see Rene Velasquez. The two men had worked together during the war in El Salvador in Cambridge. Rene, himself Salvadoran, had recently left the war-torn country. They hadn't seen each other for 30 years. Instead of a traditional interview, the two men turned the mic on each other.
Hey, Jim, how do you meet this refugee from El Salvador named Rene Velasquez?
Let me see. I have to try to figure out how this all happened. Rene, I met you through your wife, Josefina. Josefina and I were members of a study group, and I remember when you were living in Jamaica Plain, you were both thinking of moving out to Berkeley, I think it was. Am I correct?
Right, yeah. That's correct.
I probably knew you maybe a couple of years before that through CASA, Baptist Church in Cambridge.
Right.
That's my memory of it. And here it is, some 35 years later.
And you know, the thing that after we would talk early and we were walking, I came to Boston was because I just finished a walk from New York to D.C. The San Salvadoreños, we did a walk to protest against the war in U.S. and citizenship and resident for the Salvadorian community and this country. And here you are now walking for Embraces the Undocumented Population. So I met you, yes, you're right, in Old Baptist Church in the basement, and always with you laugh, like, yeah, let me bring this book from Manly Argueta, One Day of Life.
And who is Manuel Argueta?
He's the writer. He's a writer that we have from San Miguel, El Salvador, and he has wrote a couple of books. He's our revolutionary writer that we love, and it happens that you had his book, and it happened that I met his mom when I was in junior high school.
Yes.
In a project, and so that's when the two of us we talk about that.
And he actually came to my house, Manuel Argueta.
Right.
It was through you, or how
I think
how
it was through
my house.
I know, I think you're right. I think I was touring with him, and I say, yeah, there's this guy who is very committed with the Salvadoreños, and you might know him. And I said, yeah, of course, let me go see it. So, but yes, I think it was through me, and that he was doing a tour for his book, One Day of Life, and so that's when we met.
Yes.
But actually, you know, the discussion that actually we have was between the work of Salvador and Nicaragua. Remember? And that was my discussion, like you were saying, you know, how the contracts were working in the region, and talking in terms of the work that we're doing for El Salvador. So.
And here it is, so many years later, and involved in the same work, you know.
Definitely. It's incredible, and it's amazing.
You didn't expect to see him here today. Right?
No,
yeah. Surprised. I didn't recognize him when I saw him.
I know. He's like, who's this man? Where's his green card? That's what he asked me. The first thing he asked me, where is my green card? And what I told him, I sell it for you.
He wanted to sell me one, and I said no.
Right. So I was trying to sell a green card, but no. I mean, all serious, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Uh-huh. You didn't see each other since you said sometime in the mid-80s.
Yeah, mid-80s. I think it's probably 20, 21, at least 21 or 22 years.
Yeah, easily.
Easily. And here we are. And I'm so glad that I came. Really.
And so am I.
But again, so much spirituality to just come in and spend some hours with you is amazing. My soul feels like energy to do this work, and thank you on behalf of, I don't know if it works, but in behalf of all the undocumented, you're an amazing man.
It works both ways.
It's amazing.
For more information on Jim Harney's walk in solidarity with undocumented immigrants, and to read Jim's writings and view his photographs and his slide presentation titled Globalization and the Undocumented, you can go to the website posibilidad.org, posibilidad.org. Thank you for listening.